Welcome to the Two Geeks and a Microphone podcast, your one-stop shop for television, movie, video games, comic books, book reviews, and more. Now, without further ado, here's Steven and Mike. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Two Geeks and a Microphone podcast. I am your illustrious co-host, Mr. Steven Boster. Very excited to be here today with you all, along with the one, the only, Mr. Mike Shanks. Mike, say hey to everybody.
Good morning to all you geeks out there in geekdom land.
We are pumped about today. I was laughing with Mike earlier. We were doing pre-show notes and saying, you know, I think every time we have an author, we say, we are so excited for today. You know, same phrase. Well, today we are pumped. And I cannot do iambic pentameter when I try to, but we had special guest with us today. That gives you a little Easter egg of who may be here with us today. Mike, would you please introduce our awesome guest?
All right. Yeah, like Steven said, we got an awesome guest today. we are going to be talking about the very cool William Shakespeare Star Wars. And we have the one and only Ian Desher here with us today. Welcome, Woo! Ian. Yay!
Welcome, Ian. Thank you for having me.
Awesome.
Absolutely. We are excited. Oh, I said it. The wah, wah. Let's not make that into a drinking game, shall we? Ian, hey, thanks so much for being here with us. This is actually pretty cool because the story goes, Mike goes, Stevie, you've got to listen or you've got to read these books. And I'm like, well, I'm more of an audiobook kind of guy. And let me tell you, I went with my favorite Star Wars movie. We had a big debate about this on a previous podcast. But, you know, the Jedi Doth Return was the one I picked up first. And absolutely loved it. I've listened to it several times because it cracks me up every time. So thank you so much. That had to be a lot of hard work. So, okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm sorry. See, I'm so excited. Oh, I did it again.
Well, now, Ian, I think you said at the end of the Empire Strikes Back one that Return of the Jedi is your favorite Star Wars film, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's the one I saw first as a kid. So, well, I don't know that I saw it first, but it's the first movie I saw, have memories of in the theater.
Gotcha.
I was 6 years old when it came out, and so I remember seeing it in the theater with my family, and we had it was called the Making of a Saga, I think is what it was called. And it was, you know, a featurette about the making of the movies, but mostly focused on Return of the Jedi because it was made right after it came out. And just seeing how the seven puppeteers working Jabba the Hutt, yep, and, you know, all the magic of that. I just really fell in love with Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, I remember watching that. That was a fantastic documentary.
Yep.
Yeah, it was. So, okay. So real quick, Ian, I'm sorry. I skipped ahead because I was just, you know, it was, you know, it's great to have you with us. So who are you and what are the things you've done? We've already alluded to the Star Wars Shakespeare, but you've done quite a bit. So for those on our audience who may not know who you are, just describe who you are and your works.
So I'm the author of now 9 Shakespeare Star Wars books, one for each of the movies in the Skywalker saga. And these are books that basically take the movies and rewrite them as though they're plays by Shakespeare. And then I've also given that treatment to Back to the Future and Mean Girls and Clueless. Mm-hmm. And as well as coming up soon, the Avengers movies.
Nice.
Oh, I'm so excited about those.
I didn't know you did Back to the Future. I might have to check those out.
Yeah. We did a after the first 6 Star Wars movies, we sort of did this pop Shakespeare series where we did those other 3, Back to the Future, Mean Girls, and Clueless. So mm-hmm. those were a lot of fun.
And awesome. So that, but that's called the pop Shakespeare series though.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. Are you planning on adding more to that kind of a thing or?
Great question, and I don't assume the answer to that yet. Don't know.
So. That, does the Avengers fall into the pop one, or is it just it really on its own because it is all 4 movies? I think I looked it up.
Exactly. So Avengers is kind of its own thing. It's not considered part of the Pop Shakespeare series. And yeah, they're calling it William Shakespeare's Avengers, the complete works, because it is the four Avengers movies in one book. So it's four plays basically in one volume.
So was that like doing like the, okay, so Star Wars, was that like doing four Star Wars movies and putting it together? I mean, the amount of work that you did for all those?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically the length of four of my Star Wars books. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Dang.
Yeah, I was surprised that they didn't like do one at a time. I saw that there was a name for each one, you know, that was pretty funny.
I mean, the interesting thing about the Avengers series and this is just so like such an honor for me, right, is that Marvel came to Quirk Books, my publisher, with the idea of let's do this one with a single volume and you know, basically, you know, we want your Shakespeare Star Wars guide to do it, right? And so that was one that sort of fell in our collective laps. And it was them that had the idea, you know, to do it as one volume as opposed to four separate books.
Right. Fine. Okay. Fine. Okay, that makes sense.
So now, okay, I'm not a Shakespeare aficionado at all. But in fact, my Shakespeare is pretty much limited to your books. So. But I understand that Star Wars, the Star Wars themes lend themselves pretty well to the Shakespearean universe, I guess. How do you feel Marvel did with that? I mean, does that line up as well as Star Wars did? Or?
Yes, I think so. I mean, what I've started to realize as I've done this, because I get asked a lot, like, you know, oh, would this movie or would this movie make a good adaptation? And really what I think it comes down to is anything that has a really solid story and with interesting characters and that sort of thing, just about any movie like that is going to make for a good Shakespearean adaptation. And so in Avengers, you have betrayal, and you have, you know, characters trying to do these sort of noble things, this sort of good versus evil stuff going on, right? And but it's also way more complex in Avengers than it is in Star Wars, where it is very much a sort of good versus evil kind of thing, you know.
Right.
Avengers gets much murkier and that sort of thing, and there are more issues and kind of more to gnaw on, I would say, there, at least than early Star Wars.
Gotcha.
So I think for sure there's just as much there in the Avengers movies. If anything, maybe there's a little bit less romance than there is in Star Wars. but, you know, like, yeah, still there's plenty of good characters there. Yeah. Oh,
man. What's your process like? So, like, let me go back for a second with Star Wars. I mean, or what gave you, even from the beginning, even before that, what gave you the idea of Star Wars, Shakespeare, put them together, you know, how did that happen?
So it was about 9 years ago. Three things happened. I mean, this is what I credit it to, is three things happening around the same time. My high school friends and I got together and we sat down one Saturday and watched the whole Star Wars trilogy together.
Like we've all done.
The original trilogy, right, as guys do, right? And mixed in with, you know, in between the movies with like bits of Robot Chicken Star Wars and stuff like that. And so then not too long after that, I read the book Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, which is one of the first mashup books that became really popular, right?
Yes.
And then just after finishing that book, my family and I live in Portland, Oregon, and we went down to the Oregon Shakespeare Festival in Ashland and saw some, you know, Shakespearean productions there, including one show that was very much sort of a modern, funny take on The Merry Wives of Windsor. And it was while I was at the Shakespeare Festival, with sort of mashups and Shakespeare and Star Wars bouncing around in my brain, right, that I was like, it would be really fun to take Star Wars and rewrite it as though it were a play by Shakespeare.
Wow.
And I'm the sort of nerd who has done, you know, who has written in verse a little bit over my life, you know, like played around with it and that sort of thing. So I thought it was something I maybe could do, and I didn't really know for sure how it would work out. But it was enough of the idea, right, to make me, I looked up Quirk Books online, knowing that they had published Pride and Prejudice and Zombies and other mashups, and their editor's email address was sitting there for the plucking. I wrote him an email and said, you know, I'm this random person you've never heard of, but I have this idea. And he wrote back and said, it's an interesting idea. And if you write something, let me know and I'll take a look at it.
Nice.
And so, I mean, this is all dumb luck because this is not the way that it's supposed to go, you know. But that gave me enough encouragement to actually write the first act, which is the first fifth of the first book. Mm-hmm. And then I sent that off to him, and he liked it, and he had a contact at Lucasfilm. He sent it off to them, and so basically we were off to the races.
Wow. That's so now awesome. You're in high school at this point?
No, thank you, but no.
Okay. No, I mean, when you did Star Wars, when you did the Star Wars, emailed the editor, sorry, I get my brain mixed up here.
No, I was 35.
Oh, okay. Okay, the way the story was going, I thought you meant that. Okay, sorry, I got confused.
I see. It was high school friends of mine that I watched Star Wars with, but no, we were all adults at that
gotcha.
Point.
Gotcha, okay.
Friends all right. From high school, yeah.
All right.
Right.
I see why you got that.
Yeah, it's kind of like, Mike, it's like you and me. Mike and I have been friends since high school.
Right.
And what kept us together was talking all things geekdom kind of a thing, and then that's how we started the podcast. We're like, well, we're already talking about it. Let's just do a podcast. You know,
right. Let's just stick microphones in front of us and see what happens.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Me and my friend Josh have had basically the exact same conversation. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, my wife always says, I've been listening to your podcast for years, so.
Yep.
So did you have to like go back and do a lot of research about Shakespeare and really dig into Shakespeare's style in order to transition the story into Shakespeare? Did you have to do a lot of homework?
Not really. What I would say I did, because I read Shakespeare enough and have fallen in love with so many of the film adaptations of Shakespeare.
There
was that. And then the other huge thing that helped along the way was that I had the one college professor of mine that I was still in touch with was the one person I ever took a Shakespeare class from. He had never seen, I still don't, he probably still hasn't seen the Star Wars movies. but he was willing to, read over my manuscripts. And so he sent them back just like it was a college paper. He sent them back with red ink all over them. And basically he taught me a lot about the way that, Shakespearean grammar works, you know, like when you use the F ending versus the est ending for verbs and that sort of thing. And when the Jedi Death Return came out, he said, well, you can call it that if Jedi refers to a single person, because doth is a singular verb ending, not if it were multiple Jedi, it has to be the Jedi do return, right? And so
okay. Yeah,
you could see that title. You can see Return of the Jedi either way, I think, right? And so so in my head, the Jedi Death Return refers to Luke, right?
Right. I agree with you there. I think you're right.
It's that kind of thing, right, where like, I didn't want to do a cheap sort of knockoff Shakespeare parody, right? Where we see that all the time. In fact, Avengers sort of does it. Does Mother know you weareth her drapes, right? Or something like that, right? is a line from Avengers. And yes. It is intentionally, I think, bad Shakespeare, right?
Right.
Like you, because... Here I put on my nerd hat, right? Because you doesn't go with weareth, right? And so, I didn't want to do that. I wanted to do honor to Shakespeare more than that, and really try to get some of the grammar and stuff right. And so there was that process to it, but it wasn't research so much as sort of on-the-job training, I guess was the way you'd say it.
Yeah, sure.
No, I feel that you gave a lot of love to Shakespeare and you were very I don't know what the word I'm looking for. but you did a very good job, I think, making it feel like it really is Shakespeare. Put some funny stuff in it.
Comedic wit is just incredible. So it's genius. We were listening to one before for part of our pre-show. I was playing him in chapter 4, scene 2, I think, with the two stormtroopers talking, at all. Love that scene. Absolutely adore that scene. But also, you even, so yes, everybody, there is a post-credits audio or in the audiobook
right.
with Ian and Shakespeare. Shakespeare comes out of time to visit Ian, and it is hysterical.
That was an idea that the producer of the audiobook had. He said, because they were going to do this three volume, you know, set of with all three books in a single audiobook set. And uh-huh. he said, I want to do something fun for the end of that. And so how would you feel about writing a scene where Shakespeare comes and basically criticizes your work?
That's awesome.
Yeah. Really good. If you wrote that, was good.
So who played Shakespeare on that?
That was enjoyable.
Who voiced Shakespeare?
His name is Daniel Davis, and he is the same person who does the like prologue for the books as well as the stage directions.
Oh, okay, cool. Very cool.
It is good. So, I want to continue to talk about the books, and then I do want to talk about the audiobooks a little bit. But what was the process like just creating? Obviously, you mentioned the whole thing with having the professor you could bounce ideas off of and take a look at. You've done a really neat job of bringing in some of the lines from Shakespeare into the books, like, you know, wherefore art thou?
Yeah.
Kind of a thing and those kinds of things. What was that process like? Was it kind of arduous or, man, I love that, you know, this is a lot of fun. Was that, did it come easy or was it really work?
I mean, it never felt like a chore to sit down and work on this, right? Because because I was always having fun. And so some of the, you know, basically it's like I would take I'm working with just a little chunk of the movie at a time, right? So like, what's the next line in the movie? And so it starts off, I would say, sort of like a translation job, right? It's like, how do we translate?
Yeah, right.
Iambic pentameter, right? And maybe use some of Shakespeare's vocabulary. But then I also, you know, is there something creative I can do here? Is there a Shakespearean reference that sort of fits the mood? Or sometimes when a unique word is used that maybe is not the most common word, I will do, there's a wonderful online resource called the Shakespeare, it's OSS, Online Shakespeare something. That's not the other S. It's Open Source Shakespeare. That's what it is. It's Open Source Shakespeare.
That makes sense.
It's a fantastic resource where basically you can search for a word and it will show you every time. It's basically an online concordance, right?
Oh, nice.
So it will show you every time that word is used in Shakespeare. So sometimes if a really unique word is used, I might go fishing for a specific time. Did Shakespeare use this word and play with it somehow? Or sometimes it's just, oh, this mood, you know, it's right before the final Death Star battle in the first Star Wars movie. This makes me feel like the Battle of Agincourt in Henry V, where, you know, the odds are against the English. And so Henry V gives this really triumphant speech. And so now I'm going to put that speech in Luke's mouth, you know, so that he can give the same sort of rousing speech. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes it just fits that way in terms of theme. And then sometimes I have placed rules on myself about various characters, which I started doing more sort of later on, like Yoda speaking in haiku, and Mace Windu always uses the title of a Samuel L. Jackson movie in his lines, and things like that, where like I suddenly have imposed rules on myself that I have to follow now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you referenced that at the end of Jedi Doth Return. You do a short snippet where you're, you know, the before the post credit scene, as I mentioned before, but you do explain some of the rules that you did place on yourself and how you work through those. So it was quite enjoyable, actually. So I was like, oh, that makes sense, man. That's a lot of thought into that, which propagated me to sit there and go, huh, I wonder how much work he had to put into this. You know, I mean, you really did. You had to put a lot of work into it.
Well,
but it's all like geeky fun work, right? I mean, yes, it is a lot of work, but it's like, this is like, I would not rather be doing anything else.
Love it.
Well, I also love how you gave voices to like some of the monsters. Like you gave voice to the Wampa, to the Rancor monster, Even some, like we talked about the stormtroopers having a conversation that never existed in the film. I love, to me, those are even funnier than some of the film stuff, you know? Because it's like, oh, great, we're getting to hear from these characters we never heard before.
Right. And, oh, yeah, and hopefully that's what makes the books more interesting than they would be if it were just a straight, you know, retelling without some of that stuff, right?
Yes.
And you know, credit to Lucasfilm, who lets me do that, right? I mean, they...
Sure,
they sort of,
and they were the ones originally who... I would say that my first draft of the first that first act that I ever wrote was sort of... more sort of playing it straight because I didn't want to push the bounds too much because I didn't know how Lucasfilm was going to react to,
you know,
me pushing the bounds. And they were the ones to come back and say, basically, I mean, essentially they're, what they were saying was like, if we're going to do this concept, let's go all the way with it. Right. And so I, over time, have learned to just try whatever I want to try, and they can always pull the reins back if they need to, but you know, I might as well go for it.
Go for the gold.
Yeah, things like giving speeches to creatures and the dialogue between the two stormtroopers, which ended up being a feature in every single book, was born out of that moment in the original Star Wars movie where you've got these two stormtroopers who are standing, you know, standing guard outside the Millennium Falcon, and they hear this, this like sound of rumpus inside. They're too dumb to question it, right? Like, and like, hey, can we get some help in here? And they walk in and they're shot, right?
Right.
And
so, like,
and I just imagine, like, what if one of them had figured it out and was like, wait, like, this is the ship. Like, what, isn't it possible they're in there? You know, and then that became like, I was like, okay. And Lucasfilm let me do it. So I was like, okay, we're gonna do something with these two stormtroopers where we're gonna make fun of the movies in some way.
That's great.
In every book.
So. Oh, it's fabulous. Yeah, it's really good. So I didn't realize it was in the other ones too as well. So now I'm like, oh, I gotta go make sure I catch that. So that is good. Yeah, I love how one is like, it, you know, in Jedi Death Return, one is sitting there talking about how they're, hey, but could it be, you know, if, you know, that whole if situation, you know, could it be this? So everybody, if you're listening, you've just got to get a copy of this. You've got to. If there's anything I've been like, oh, my goodness, this is something super enjoyable. And my goal is to collect the whole set. Now, as I said, I'm an audiobook kind of guy. So I have thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed the audiobook, and with the actors and the music and the just the style. And it sounds like everybody's trying to do the iambic pentameter and everything.
Yeah, I mean, they've brought in, you know, fantastic audiobook narrators. A lot. I mean, all of them are people who actually are called in to do the Star Wars audiobooks normally, right? Normally, they don't get to interact with each other. You know, normally it's one person reading an entire book.
Right.
They've got all these people who have done lots of Star Wars books, and now they're getting to do scenes together and things like that. And so you get the people who are used to doing the voices and also are actors, and so they know Shakespeare. And yeah, I mean, the audiobooks they're really a lot of fun. And I can say that because I had very little to do with them, honestly, in terms of their production and that sort of thing. Like, I was sort of like a fly on the wall, not at all like sitting in the captain's chair.
Right. What was that like though, when you heard that first one being done and you heard it when it was complete and you knew that was your work, that was your writing? What was that like?
I mean, it's unbelievable. As a Star Wars fan, who wouldn't, you know, who wouldn't just die for that? Like, it's so much fun, you know. Yeah, like, yeah. There's the John Williams score, right? And then all of a sudden, it's like words that I wrote coming out of somebody's mouth. I mean, it's like it's a total dream come true. It absolutely is. And every day I feel so lucky that I've gotten to have this experience.
Now, were you – sometimes you're credited as being in it. Did you do some of the voices, or did you do some of the readings within the works?
Yeah, so I did a handful of voices. You know, wisely, they gave the amateur very small parts. totally fine. I wasn't asking for a big part.
Sure.
And the professionals, obviously, are doing a much better job than I would have. So I'm Greedo in the first first book. I am the voice of the Wampa and the Space Slug.
They have modified
my voice, but I am the voice of those two creatures in Empire. And then in Return of the Jedi, I think I'm one of the rebel pilots at the end who ends up dying. You know,
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'm pretty sure I got to do a few different screams and that sort of thing. And right? Yeah.
Well, that's cool because you're some of my favorite parts. Then I love it. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's they're really fun. Really fun.
I tell you what, every time I hear Han Solo or Lando Calrissian come on the audio and stuff, I start cracking up.
Oh, they're hilarious.
The actors who did that were just absolutely, they just, not only did they make the sound alike to, you know, like Harrison Ford, but man, when they were doing their, I don't know if this, okay, this is bad of me on my Shakespearean type thing, but when they were doing like their little soliloquies or their little sections or "Be stilleth my heart," you know, kind of stuff. I mean, I was like, oh my gosh, this is great. This is hysterical and stuff. So they did a fabulous job. But that's what I it's neat to hear you say it's like a dream come true. I mean, hearing your works come to life like that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. And, yeah. I mean, there's just no, this 10 years ago, this was not a blink in my eye, like not a twinkle in my eye, you know? And the last 8-9 years has just been, yeah, great.
Like, I'm looking at it. Yeah. So, with the music, as I said, I don't have your print copies. I just have the audiobooks. But, with the songs and stuff, is that your work with the songs, or did somebody else do the, like, you know, when Max Rebo Band comes in and does their song at the beginning of Jedi Death Return?
Yeah. So I wrote the words for all of the songs. So I, you know, Shakespeare included songs in his plays,
right.
Me being a music guy, I wanted to, you know, include songs. That seemed like a no-brainer, you know. So occasionally, I'll just have characters break into song for one reason or another. And so, I had those in all of my in what I wrote, and then the audiobook producer would often come to me and say like, so what were you sort of imagining for this song? You know, like specifically when the, I think it's when the Ugnaughts are like, the Ugnaughts are basically a group of like singing, you know, people. Right? Like they're
dwarfs.
Little, Oompa Loompas kind of a thing.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of like that. Right. And so he was like, how do you imagine their song sort of being? And I was like, well, I sort of imagine it this like jolly romp, you know, that they're, you know. And then they turn them into, you know, like audiobook actors are not normally singing, but sure. They're so game to try these things, you know? So like you have, like January Lavoie, who does the voice of, Leia, you know, like singing this lament for Alderaan, you know, and she's like breaking your heart 'cause it sounds so, you know, and yeah. So again, like so much credit to the audiobook, producer Kevin Thompson and just the way he sort of brought it all together to make it really, really work.
I think my favorite of the songs was the Empire Strikes Back one after Han's frozen in carbonite and Leia and Chewie have kind of a duet, and you know, oh, that is freaking hilarious.
Yeah, and it's just ridiculous because Chewbacca is singing in his roar.
Right. Yeah. Oh, I loved it.
That's one that Kevin sent me right after they occasionally, this was also fun because Kevin would sometimes like, he'd send me sometimes videos of like what was going on in studio or he'd send me recordings. And that was one that he sent me a recording of right after they'd done it. Cause it just sounds, it is a very sad moment, of course.
Right.
It's so hilarious because Chewbacca's singing.
Oh, I was rolling. I don't even think I heard any of the lyrics. I was just laughing so hard at Chewbacca. It was so funny.
Right.
You know, speaking of Chewbacca, at the end of, you know, when we were you were talking about some of the rules that you placed on yourself, you said something really interesting that at Lucasfilm, they have actual linguists for all the languages.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So you said it was kind of nice to be able to send it and they could, you know, help you tweak the works. I can't imagine for the audiobooks what the folks had to do to try to learn, you know, pronunciations or whatever that. But what was that like for you just as a writer, having someone goes, well, your grammar is off just a little bit here. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, right? Like it is funny sort of being corrected on your huttees, you know, where Lucasfilm is like, actually, the word is this. Oh, okay, cool. Great. You know, and it's just, again, sort of credit to how well Star Wars, how well everyone at Lucasfilm knows their property, right? And and the depths to which they have sort of built out this universe. Yeah. And so, yeah. So I always think it's really cool, and it's such a fun read. So, I mean, again, as a Star Wars fan, right? To have like to receive in my email, like, here are the official transliterations of like all the languages in Star Wars. Oh
cool. Wow,
that's fun. Yeah.
Yeah. That's very cool. Dang. And stuff, man. Wow. The other thing is, you know, we've talked about kind of the work that you've done for Star Wars. I kind of want to go back to, you know, your upcoming Avengers work, which is just, I can't wait. I cannot wait for this. What is it? Do you have the same kind of things where, and I don't know how much you can disclose, and I don't want to push you to, you know, give anything away or anything, but do you have the same thing where you have the songs in the soliloquies and the ending, you know, who gets to give the ending discussion or the closeouts? I can't remember what those are called and stuff. What do you have those same kind of things?
I have a lot of the same elements you'll find in the Star Wars books. What I did with, you know, obviously the four Avengers movies are four of 22 or 23, you know, movies in the broader MCU.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And so I felt like I really wanted to recognize that and incorporate that somehow. And so what I did was every of the four, you know, Avengers plays, every one of them starts off with a speech from the chorus. And the speech not only describes the events of the movies that have happened before that one. So like Iron Man and Thor and Captain America, at least, all came out before the first Avengers movie, right?
Right, right.
And so the chorus is sort of like basically filling you in on what happened in those movies. But also the speech itself is an acrostic speech where the first letter of each line spells out the titles of those movies too.
Oh, nice.
Because again, like, it's my way of incorporating those movies without actually writing plays for them, right?
Sure.
And so so that's why, like, for Infinity War, like, there's a lot of movies that came in between Ultron and Infinity War. So that chorus speech is longer because there's lots of titles to work in. also, lots of descriptions of new characters that have been added and that sort of thing. Whereas when you get to Endgame, I think there's really only two movies. Yeah, it's Captain Marvel and the second Ant-Man movie, or maybe the first Ant-Man movie. Mm-hmm. Second Ant-Man movie. Anyway, second Ant-Man movie that came before that one. So that's a shorter speech, right? Because the only those titles to work in. Anyway, so like, yeah, you'll find all the same sort of silliness and goofiness.
Nice.
That are in the Star Wars books.
So will there be an audiobook of the Marvel one also?
That's a great question. And actually, I don't know the answer at this point.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Too soon in the process.
Yeah, and it's funny the way this sort of works with the movie companies, right? Like, they own these properties, right? And
sure.
And so, like, they own the copyrights to my books and everything like that. And mm-hmm. So, like, they can make the audiobooks and, you know, like, and I don't sometimes, like, don't even, wouldn't necessarily even hear about it. So,
right.
Like, they don't have to tell me they're doing the audiobooks. So I haven't heard. I just haven't heard yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll see.
I hope right. they do one. I really do.
I do too. Yeah.
Are they still working on all of the? Because I don't think all nine of the Star Wars are audiobooks. You're right.
Yeah. That's right. So right now I believe they've done four of the nine, and I don't think they'll probably do more at this point.
Okay.
You know, since those books are behind us now, you know, it would surprise me if they went back and finished them.
Sure. Well, I guess I'm buying all the books now.
Well, I have Star Wars Empire and Return in the book form. And then I also have those, the audios of those. So I haven't got the other ones yet, but I will eventually get them.
I'm totally pre-ordering the Avengers one, though.
Oh, that
just sounds great. Just sounds fabulous. if it's anything like what you've done with the Star Wars ones, it's going to be spectacular.
I just hope you have the scene with Captain America, one of my favorite scenes where Cap says, "Ma'am, there's only one God," and I'm pretty sure he doesn't dress like that.
Yeah, that's in there. That is
awesome. All right, you got me sold.
So, you know, we, as we've talked with other authors, what's been interesting is some have talked about just kind of like writing, and, you know, it's been interesting to hear from some folks about just their writing process, or if some people are interested in writing, what advice would you give them in just writing or becoming a writer, or if they have a project that, you know how some people say everyone has a book in them, you know, kind of a thing and stuff. How would you encourage someone to be a writer?
I mean, I think I'd probably say write something that you really love and are really passionate about, you know, something that if it feels like a chore, or if you're not excited about it, that's different than it being hard work. Cause writing of course can be hard work. Right. But, if it feels like a chore and you're just not excited and your heart's not into it, then don't do that, right? Pick something that don't feel like you should write about this other thing. If your heart is telling you that you want to write about, you know, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, then write about Buffy the Vampire Slayer, right? Or like whatever story you think is there, or whatever story you have to tell. Like I said earlier, it has never felt like a chore to sit down and write these books. You know, yes, I work with deadlines and, you know, that sort of thing. And like, I have to do the work, but like, I'm sitting down and like, gosh, this is fun. What, you know, who wouldn't want to do this? You know, right? At least that's how I feel. Cause I'm mixing these things that I love. So.
Yeah. So that's great. I like how you said, write what you love, but yeah, it is hard work, but that's different. You know, everything is work. You know, I keep telling people, you know, tell my stepson, I'm like, you know, do anything worthwhile is hard work.
Right. Yep.
Kind of a thing. There's work involved. But I think that's the difference between how some people say, oh, follow your passion, you know, and like, oh, but my passion's hard to do. You know, it's like, well yeah.
Right. Just because it's your passion doesn't mean you won't have to work at it. Yeah.
Work hard. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm lazy. I'm just kidding.
No, I can vouch he's not lazy at all. He's a little absent-minded, but he's not lazy.
I think that happens with age.
Yeah, I think so too.
So what are some other projects that you want other people to know about? Because when I was looking, I noticed the Shakespearean Star Wars movies are not your only Star Wars kind of Shakespeare thing. I think there's one. I had to write a note. I wish I had a Wookiee.
Yeah, so that's coming out the same day as Avengers, so it'll be exciting day. And that is it's a project I've been working on for like 6 years now. It is a book. It's a children's book, and it's a book of poems about Star Wars. So some of them are silly. Some of them are sort of like more emotional or like dealing with themes that like kids might, you know, the have sorts of things that kids might be dealing with or thinking about and that kind of thing.
Cool.
But all within the frame of the Star Wars world. And it's also, I think it's something of a unique book among Star Wars books, because it's really people from our galaxy looking at the Star Wars galaxy, as opposed to taking place within the Star Wars galaxy, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So anyway, that's what it is. I'm excited because it's my first non-Shakespearean thing. And as much as I love the Shakespearean stuff, it's fun to do something else. It's my first children's book.
Cool.
And it still is Star Wars and still was a lot of fun. And like I said, it's, you know, I started writing it like 6 years ago. So to finally see it coming to fruition is a lot of fun.
So now when you do a children's book, do you have any say so in the illustration and who the illustrator is or things like that?
So I had, with each poem, I gave sort of an idea like that was in my mind for what the illustration could be. Cool. And sometimes, and then the publisher found an illustrator. And basically the, you know, generally what happens is that they'll send me an email saying, hey, we're thinking of going with this illustrator. We think that their style would work well with this book. And I've never, you know, never have I been like, no, I don't like, you know, I mean, because Quirk Books is so good at what they do, and they, you know, they know how to put a book together to make it look fabulous. And so they're always going to choose somebody who's really good at what they do. And I mean, the illustrations for my Shakespeare Star Wars books, you know, sort of exemplify that, because Nicholas Delort, who did all the illustrations for those, just knocked it out of the park.
Cool.
And so same thing with Tim Budgen, who's doing the illustrations. He's a children's book illustrator, and he's doing the illustrations for it. And his work is just so playful and fun and just brings the right spirit to it. So, you know, yeah, I mean, it's just, again, like tribute to Quirk Books for knowing how to pick them, I guess.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. So let's continue with kids or teens or, how shall I say this? On your website, so iandescher.com, you provide for teachers and for, I guess, even for students really, but for teachers, kind of guides to go along with your books to teach Shakespeare and all.
Yeah,
what led to that? And you make that free of cost.
Yeah, that, I mean, I guess I've always sort of said that it was like always sort of the secondary, sneaky secondary agenda with these books. Like first and foremost, it's always just, I want you to have a good time with these. I want you to be reading them and laughing and that sort of thing, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But the secondary sneaky agenda is, if this could help be a bridge to help get kids into Shakespeare, wow, that would be huge, right? And so I've talked with a lot of teachers, and I visited classrooms and Skyped with classrooms and things like that, you know, where we are, where basically teachers are, you know, introducing my books, because it's I would never claim it's Shakespeare. It's very much sort of a light take on Shakespeare.
Sure.
You know, but it's within a safe context that most kids at least have heard of, if not know, if you know, if they don't know the movies, they at least have heard of Star Wars or Mean Girls or Back to the Future or whatever, and know what they are. And they're getting a taste of some of the Shakespearean elements. They're getting the iambic pentameter, some of Shakespeare's literary devices, things like that, and some of the language, so that then hopefully when they start reading Midsummer Night's Dream or Romeo and Juliet or something like that, it's not as big of a leap. So those educators' guides are just something that I hope would help, you know, somebody who's trying to bring this into the classroom, so they can point out all the different things, you know, that where I'm really trying to bring Shakespeare into the books.
That's cool. That's very cool.
It's really good. I was like, dude, he's making this for free to educate kids. And it does. I think it's an incredible idea to create a bridge. It's what it sounds like. You know, okay, here's, you know, Star Wars. Now let's have some fun with Shakespeare Star Wars. But with those educator guides, you're really laying out, hey, this is kind of my formula. This is what's here. This is what's here. And all of this is in Shakespeare. Go back, look at it, you know, kind of a thing, which is just fabulous. So for those of you who may be listening in the audience, take a look, iandescher.com, and just peruse through there. It's a great site, actually. And you know, just pull them down, take a look, and you kind of go through your whole, you know, here's what I did with this, here's what I was trying to connect with this, here's what I took from this Shakespeare play, you know, and things. So I just thought, I like how you said that secondary sneak it in, you know, kind of thing. It was really good.
I gotta admit, if these books would have existed when I was in school, it probably would have got me into Shakespeare. That's cool.
Well, we interrupt this regularly scheduled program to bring you some great news for two lucky winners of our Ian Descher book giveaway. How's that, Mike? Does that sound good enough?
That sounds good. I like that. we interrupt this previously recorded program so that we can bring you two winners.
Hey, everybody, like we are so excited that you're listening to the show. We're so excited that we had this opportunity to have time with Ian Desher, which was a blast as you're listening now. But one of the things we put on our Facebook page was the opportunity to win a couple of book plates with a book. So yeah. How are we doing this? What's the game plan here?
Okay, so I took all the entries, wrote them out on slips of piece of paper, folded them in half. I put them in my St. Louis Cardinals camouflage hat.
Okay, so nice. The Cardinals like that. There.
And Megan, my daughter Megan, is going to draw. There she
Megan.
Is. She's going to draw two names from it.
Okay.
All right.
Now, how does this work? So you draw the names, and then they just have to we'll contact them, or they contact us, or how are we rolling with that?
So we'll draw the names. And and then we will announce them on this podcast, and they have 2 weeks to contact us with their mailing address, and then we'll
mail.
And which book of choice they want to win, you know, they want. Okay, so Megan just drew the names.
Okay,
our first winner is Matt Hempel. Yay!
Woo! Congratulations, Matt!
Yeah. Way to go, Matt!
Hey, get back! Make sure you get back with us, Matt, so we know which book you want and your address, okay?
And our second one, I have no idea how to pronounce this.
Okay. Give it a shot. Hey, we apologize for mispronouncing names, but here we go.
Tell me if you can see that name. It's spelled...
Okay, go ahead.
X-O-D-Y-C... Good. G-O-O-D.
Okay. All right.
I'm not making fun of anyone's name. I just...
No, but I'm not going to... Out of respect, I'm not going to try to pronounce
that.
I'm
not even going to attempt it because whatever I say is going to be wrong.
You're our second winner.
Yay! So Matt Hempel and... Yeah.
Gotcha. Last name Good.
Last name Good, right. So you guys are the winners or girl. I don't know if that's a guy or a girl.
That's all right. We'll find out. Okay, cool beans.
So you guys got 2 weeks to contact us with your mailing address and which William Shakespeare Star Wars book that you would like, and mm-hmm. we will get those in the mail to you.
Sounds like a plan. Cool. Congrats. Let's get back to the show.
Congratulations. All right. Over and out, and may the force be with you.
And that's really part of it, right? I recognize that most kids aren't like me in the sense of, like, I just loved Shakespeare. When we first started, you know, in high school, when we started reading him, I was a theater kid, and, you know, I fell in love with the language and the stories, and that's unusual, right? There's a lot of sort of cultural baggage that we bring to Shakespeare where I think there's sort of this fear before you ever even try to read some that, like, oh, I'm not going to be able to understand this or whatever. Yeah. It's going to be too hard.
Yeah.
So I recognize that I was sort of one of the lucky ones, and I want to try to help pave the path for people who don't encounter it the way I did originally.
Sure.
Right. Well, sure. In all openness, thank you for that, because I was one of the ones who was intimidated by it. Oh my gosh, it's Elizabethan language, and you know, and okay, he's doing what's iambic pentameter, you know, what's that, you know, kind of a thing.
King so, James, thee, thou, this, thus.
Yeah, you know, it's and so thank you for building that bridge, because I'll be open with you. I'm like, okay, what's Ian doing here with this spot? You know, here all in the sun, here's Han Solo, you know, professing his love to Leia when she gets shot, you know, kind of a thing or something. And then she replies, and I'm like, oh, this, okay, there's a certain style. Obviously, now my brain is thinking as I listen, okay, there's a style and a reason for everything you did, everything. And so now it's just kind of fun trying to pick that apart. So that's why, oh, okay, there's these educator guides. Okay, there's a specific purpose and stuff. So, and it has been kind of fun to learn about your, you know, having the two stormtroopers in there. Now I'm going to pay attention, you know, for that and stuff. How many Easter eggs do you have in your books?
oh, just tons. I mean, like, it's, and that's been another fun thing, again, that Lucasfilm has let me do, right? Where, like, sometimes it's Easter eggs just, like, just for me, where it, like, I worked in my kids' names and like I've worked in stuff from my college singing group and stuff like stuff that wouldn't, the broader public wouldn't get. And then there's stuff that broader public would get, right? Like references to Hamilton or references to Pirates of Penzance or, you know, or Charles Dickens or other things, you know? So
well, sure. You're the author. You get that chance to do that stuff. That's awesome.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Very cool.
That is cool. We're going to have to make a list, Easter egg.
Well, you know, and Lucasfilm should enjoy that because they've done that themselves. I mean, go back and look at the first Star Wars, and you got the conversation between the two stormtroopers when Obi-Wan's trying to shut down the tractor beam. So you have that conversation. And then you have almost the exact same conversation in The Force Awakens with two more stormtroopers, which one of them was Sam Witwer, by the way, who's an amazing actor exactly. in it himself. But they have almost the same conversation because they're talking about the certain TIE fighter that's no longer in production or something to that extent. But yeah, they do that too. So they should be accepting of you doing that.
Didn't they do that in Mandalorian where they had the two speeder bike stormtroopers and stuff and they couldn't shoot the
That? Such a great scene. Such a good scene.
It is a good scene.
I have a love-hate relationship with that scene because
I mean,
it's funny, but I'm the stormtroopers can't hit a barn joke's getting old. It's just getting old.
Well, Mike, just to let you know, we are getting old. So.
Well, true. But I guess with the clones, the clones were more accurate, so yeah, maybe it still works. I don't know.
So any other projects, Ian, that you've been working on that you want to talk about or share with everybody? So we talked about the Avengers, which sounds great.
Yeah.
I'm interested that I Wish I Had a Wookiee for your kids' first kids' book. That sounds fabulous. What else is in the pike?
I mean, those are the two big ones for now. I'm working on some other stuff right now, but nothing that is nothing that's ready for public view. So
gotcha. right. Sorry.
NDAs.
Yeah, we had Paul Bateman on, and it was so funny when we did our video. He had to put a bed sheet up behind him because he's working on all this stuff, you know. And it was that was pretty funny. Same story. So yeah, sorry about that. I just want to make sure. I just want people to be excited about what you're doing. I have not had so much fun with Star Wars nor Shakespeare together in a long time. And I have thoroughly enjoyed it. Thank you. Thank you so much for your work. It's just been fabulous. Fabulous. Okay, so when does Marvel, the Marvel Avengers, and then I Wish I Had a Wookiee, those come out in September?
Yep, September 28th.
Yep.
And so I'm excited. We'll make sure this is up and letting people know. And actually, we'll probably be telling people we've already done the interview with you, and they need to check it out long before we air this.
Well, now that we have done the interview, I can say it. I try to get these scheduled, and I try not to give away who we're going to talk to until we've actually talked to them, because you know things can happen. You know. Schedules change, people can't do things, and so it's after I've done the interview, it's like, okay, now I can release who we talk to. So so yeah, I'm excited that we get to talk about who we just had on, so it'll be fun.
What's Ian, what's the best way for people to learn more about you, or you know, how are you out there in the I almost said social verse, but that probably is telling my age. What was the best way to say that?
I mean, the website that you've been talking about, iandescher.com, has links to everything that, you know, that's out there. I've been pretty quiet on social media this year. I've been taking a little bit of a rest. That will come to an end as we get closer to the books, I think. I'm back in that mode. But yeah, I'm on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. If you search for Ian Descher, you'll find me.
Nice. So.
Very cool. Very awesome. Cool. All right. Any other things that we need? Did we forget anything, Mike? We had this whole list, everybody, that we were really trying to...
yeah, we were trying to stick to because we got it approved. So right. Hopefully we didn't go veer too far off of that.
Say that again, Mike?
I said hopefully we didn't veer too far off of that.
Right. Well, either way, I mean, everyone's been great to work with. And Ian, gosh, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's just really fun. My pleasure.
Yeah, this has been great. So I feel like I'm missing something. Actually, to be honest, Ian, I like having you on the show and I don't want to stop. I'm making up saying, I think there's something else. Let's see. No, Ian.
Let's do this forever. Let's just hang out, guys.
Hey, while we're at it, let's do our own commentaries on everything. Let's watch all the Star Wars movies and do our commentary. All right. Well, hey, everybody, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for being with us. This has been fabulous. Ian, thank you again for your time and your hard work. You've created some great, great books. And I encourage everybody who's listening, go out and start with one. Like what Mike and I did, we each started off with our favorite Star Wars movie, and either you get Audible, listen to it, or get the book. Obviously, not all of them are audiobooks, but whichever one, go out and grab one because you will not regret it. It's worth every penny.
Well, I would say definitely get the book so Ian gets some money for that. And then if there's an audiobook for the one you like, definitely get the audiobook because they are just hilarious. They're so funny.
Yeah. It's worth getting both.
Yeah, it is.
I'm just going to say
definitely. It's worth getting
both. Well, thank you. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Yep. All right, Mike. Well, it's up to you to round us out.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us, Ian. We really appreciate it. Maybe we can have you back on again after the Marvel release and do this again. To all of our listeners out there, again, make sure you check out Ian Desher. Go to twogeeksandamike.com. Check out our webpage. We can get to our merch page, our Facebook page, all the ways to talk to us. If you got a question, get on our Facebook page, ask a question. If you got something for Ian, drop us a question there. We'll try to get it to him. All right. With that said, I messed up my outro.
Your virtual coffee table just hanging out. Works it all. Well done, my friend.
With that said, over and out, and may the force be with you. Thank you for joining us today on the Two Geeks and a Microphone podcast. Tune in next week when we will have more news and reviews. Until then,
may the force be with you.